Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Here's what's cooking on the day. Sports Stove, a local hour. We are talking EKU baseball with pitcher Ryker Walton. We're going to talk postseason basketball with head basketball coach Greg Todd from the EKU women's team. That's what's cooking on the day. Sports Stove, a local hour.
McKinney looks, steps into pocket, throws, open receiver, touchdown! Colonels, we're not done yet!
Our identity is we're going to press for 40 minutes, we're going to play up-tempo, we're going to play with unbelievable passion, and then our brand is the most exciting 40 minutes in sports.
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Local Hour presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Now's the time to join the flavor revolution at Righteous Felon Jerky. That's righteousfelon.com. If you use the code STOVE15, STOVE15, you get 15% off your purchase, every single purchase that you make at righteousfelon.com. You will not regret your choices if you go to righteousfelon.com. We're also presented by IPM Pest and Termite, Central Kentucky's neighborhood pest professionals, and All Around Roofing, locally owned and operated as well. Here in Central Kentucky. I'm your host, Vince Stover. I'm usually joined by Ryan Jackson. I will not be joined by Ryan tonight due to his football schedule. And they've got a busy day coming up tomorrow. And so he's not able to make it with us tonight. But that's okay, because although I'm by myself for the moment, we got two guests coming on tonight that are going to be great guests. Ryker Walton from EKU Baseball, coming off a huge game on Saturday. And then Greg Todd from the EKU women's team will join us later in the program as well. Originally, we had Tayshaun Comer scheduled also, but conflict happened there. Coach wanted him to be at the game because they play the winner of tonight's ASUN game. So he is there watching that and unable to join us tonight. So we'll just have the two guests on this evening. I want to get started, though, with women's basketball briefly. Well, not just that. Some things that I saw this weekend that I really was, I guess, proud of. Maybe not be the right words for it. But nonetheless, I was at the EKU women's game Saturday. They tipped off at 1 o'clock. And then I went to the baseball games after that as well. And on my way into the arena, I saw, you know, the baseball players were out warming up. They had a 2 o'clock game. And so I walked over and caught Coach Prothrow. And Coach Pro, he's the very first thing he said to me, he said, how about those, that men's basketball team? And so we chatted about that for just a minute and wished him luck for the day and headed into the girls game. And then I got in the girls game and Walt Wells, A.W. Hamilton, both pulled up to cheer on the girls team. Of course, Matt Roan was there as well. Steve Lepore came in at one point also and was there for most of the game. And I thought it was really neat just to watch these coaches support each other. At the baseball game, John Abizzani, the volleyball coach, was there cheering on the baseball team. So I was really, thought it was neat that the coaches are out there supporting one another. And an okay crowd for the women's game. You know, we've been pushing for it all year, trying to get you guys to understand, like, this girls team is so fun to watch. And it was an okay crowd from the community, but where in the world are the students? You know, I mean, listen, it's indoors. It was heated. It was cool day on Saturday. No students. I mean, very few students. There was a couple in the crowd, but I'm just sitting there going, I mean, surely these girls have friends on campus. Where are they at? Why aren't they here cheering them on? Surely there's some students on a Saturday afternoon that have nothing else to do. And why can't they come and cheer on these girls? And I thought it was sad. But listen, the band was amazing. The community was out. Like I said, a decent crowd from the community. Senior night, so I got to honor the seniors that were there. They played really well, did not win. So that now they have to travel to Nashville to play on the 9th. They'll play Lipscomb at Lipscomb. We'll talk to Coach Todd about that and the postseason that is ahead. Of course, EKU men's basketball, they have tournament this week. Tuesday night, tomorrow night, they have their first game. If they win, they play Thursday. And if they win again, they'll play Sunday in the championship all over here in Richmond. So come out be at those games. I will not be at Tuesday's game. I've got an awards banquet I have to be at, but we'll be there Thursday and hopefully Sunday as well going on there. EKU baseball is busy this week also. They have a scheduled two-game series with Kentucky, one in Lexington, one in Richmond. It is scheduled to rain the next 2 days, so we'll see how that plays out and what that does to the schedule. But either way, it'll be a good time if they're able to play it. And Saturday, I got to go. Me and my son came out after the girls' game, went out and watched the rest of the game one and then all of game two. And, EKU baseball is something we enjoy coming out to and watching. And I will say this. I think I'm officially a booster now for EKU baseball after going to the concession stands. But outside of that, it was great. We love the atmosphere there and have a great time at the baseball games. And while we were there, we got to witness Riker Walton pitching. And I knew immediately I wanted to have Riker on the show. I emailed KB and said, hey, man, I got to get this guy on the program. And he's going to join us. And he's actually going to join us now. He's here and he's ready to go. So we're going to go ahead and bring him on. Hopefully he's ready to go. At least I think he is. All right, here we go. This EKU baseball pitcher Riker Walton joins the program now. Riker, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing phenomenal. And I'll tell you what, Saturday was the first time I got to see you in person and was blown away, man. 6.2 innings. You had, I think it was 2 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. In that game, you just controlled everything while you were out there. How did it feel? I know this isn't the first time that you've pitched at EKU, but how'd that game specifically feel?
It felt really good. My family was able to come out and watch this weekend. This is the first weekend that they got to come. And it was really nice performing well in front of them and them getting the opportunity to see me.
Yeah, they're going to have to come back because it was a phenomenal showing for sure. Game two of the series, and you guys got the win there as well. It wasn't just you. The pitching staff pitched great, ended up getting, I think it was 13 strikeouts on Saturday night, 14 strikeouts on Sunday, which got me a free voucher for a free hot dog. So I'm pretty excited about that as well. Going on there. Tell us a little bit about the season so far, though. Obviously, you were at Mineral Area Community College before coming here. And what has that transition been like coming to EKU?
I was at junior college before I came here. And then, obviously, coming here to Division I, it's full of tons of talent, like every 3 or 4 hole hitter at a junior college is all throughout the lineup at a Division I school. So definitely good bats all throughout the lineup. And then can you say that again? What else did you ask?
Yeah, I mean, just that transition. You talk about the batters for sure being better all the way down, up and down the lineup. But what about the, being in the dugout and just the practices, all that kind of stuff? What's that transition like?
It is different. We lift every day here. We have a strength program here that is different than a JUCO because a junior college is a lot on your own and you don't have the accessibility to having a strength coach to help you every day and tell you what lifts you should be doing and how to take care of your body the right way. Junior college is a lot different. It's just a lot of players just going out there and just not having the right knowledge and information that they would hear, where you have coaches helping you out with everything, little aspects of the game, and even to recovery aspects.
What helped you choose EKU as your next place to play?
When I came on a visit here, it was a total different feeling meeting the coaches, meeting all the teammates here than the other places that I went. And it just felt like the right decision. As soon as I left to go back home, I think I called my parents and told them that this is the place that I want to go. And then shortly after, I just knew that I committed here.
Awesome, man. Now your sophomore year, you're right where what you look like on Saturday, right? 3.46 ERA, 111 strikeouts in 78 innings, only 39 walks in that season in 2023, averaging over 12 strikeouts per nine innings. And that's exactly what you look like on Saturday out there flinging. Tell us a little bit about your hometown. You're from Missouri, correct?
Yes. Yep.
All right. And tell us a little bit about growing up in that area.
It's a small town. It's more on the countryside of things. It's a town like everybody knows everybody. You go to the store, you see a bunch of familiar faces every day, and then it's a lot different than coming. Even Richmond is a big upgrade, like as far as the population and the like stores, the whole town as a whole. As coming from a smaller town.
Now, you guys started your season against Auburn. You played Vanderbilt. You guys are getting ready, scheduled to play Kentucky. What has that experience been like diving right into the deep end, starting the season with some pretty big matchups? How has that, has it been neat to kind of play in some of those? To me, I grew up in Middle Tennessee, so Vanderbilt baseball was a big deal growing up. But playing in those types of environments, what kind of experience is that like?
Our first weekend we went to Auburn and we practiced there that night, and immediately after practice I called my brother and I called my parents and like told them how surreal the feeling is. I grew up watching college baseball, like watching these big teams, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Louisville, all those teams play, and then getting the opportunity to come and pitch against them and play against them is just a surreal feeling.
Now, the schedule is set for tomorrow night playing at Kentucky, Wednesday night playing at EKU. Hopefully the rain doesn't affect that too much. We'll see how that all plays out. That being said, the season has not started, I know, at least the way Coach Pro was hoping it would start. So what's the general attitude like right now in the clubhouse?
Guys are still in good spirits. We know that there's a long season ahead of us, and we just need to not focus on like the past and just take things one day at a time and learn how to get better and focus on what's coming, as far as rather than dwelling on all of the things we should have done better in the past games that we've played. And I know that we have a really good, talented team, and I just know that it's not a matter of if we're going to. I just know that it's just when will it happen.
I agree with you, man. I tell you, I was talking with a fan yesterday, Saturday at the game, and we were just talking about some of the young guys like Tate and Silas, who are here, and they're important parts already this year, and they look like they're going to be a big parts of the team down the road as well. And so there's excitement just with the roster in general. The returning guys, the guys that we already know, are all guys that everybody loves. You know, Ron Franklin's and DJ Sullivan's and Miguel Lauriel's, those kind of guys. And then you've got the freshmen who are always fun to kind of know. And then you've got the transfers that come in as well and that play integral parts on the team. And it's fun. We have to get to know you a little bit, but it's fun. And it looks like the team does have a ton of talent that is there. I wonder, has Pro, Coach Pro or anybody else kind of talked about it all? The men's basketball team, their season started kind of rough. And then as soon as they hit conference play, they took off. Do you guys ever look at the other programs as a source of confidence saying, hey, man, this is something that we can do. We can turn it around and we can get on track where we need to be.
Absolutely. Men's basketball going and clinching the one seed for basketball is always a good thing. And conference play is the most important time. These beginning games help us discover a lot of things that we need to work on and fix up before we get into our conference play. because at the end of the year, our conference record is what will help us the most in the conference tournament, as far as I understand. And then when the conference comes, we just want to be playing our best at the end of the year and then seeing how far that will take us.
I love it, man. There's a lot of fun things going on at the ballpark this year. The Wednesday night game with Kentucky is $2 day, so everything's $2, concession stands, everything like that. Then you've got a three-game series starting Friday with Wright State, and there's stuff going on there too. There's Bring Your Own Friend Day. I don't really know what that is. I should have looked into it. I don't, but Saturday is Blanket Giveaway, and Kids Day on Sunday. They can run the bases and things like that as well. Let's get to know you a little bit, though, Riker. Let's start with your pitches. What's your arsenal? What kind of pitches are you throwing?
I throw a fastball, a curveball, a slider, and a changeup. The slider and curveball are two different pitches. The curveball is more slower, and I throw it as more of an out pitch. And the slider is – I throw it – most of the games I throw it more than my fastball, so I'm able to get a lot of missed barrels with that, get ground balls so I can keep my pitch count low where I'm not going high in the counts with the batters. And then obviously the fastball and changeup is there whenever I need to.
Do you like to work fast? It seemed like you kind of kept a rhythm on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to work as fast as I can. I just feel like it keeps me on up tempo and keeps the game moving more smoothly, keeps the fielders more engaged. They're always ready that way. They're not just having time to think about anything that has happened during the game. I just think that moving at a faster pace can help everybody just stay more engaged and alert.
Who's your favorite catcher? No, I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. but what's it like throwing? You got two guys that have played so far this year, Silas and Boone. Have they both caught you or only one of them caught you so far?
I'm not sure. Silas caught me this weekend and at Auburn, and during the Oakland games, I think Boone caught me. So, yeah, I've thrown to both of them.
How different is it? I've never pitched before. So how different is it throwing to different catchers behind the plate?
Them two are pretty similar because both of them have similar ways that they go about it and call pitches. Like if I shake off the coach, they both are on pretty much the same page of what the very next pitch I would want to throw is. They both work in, catch countless of bullpens, and get a field to know each of one of their pitchers. They do a very good job at that.
Now you brought it up, so let's talk about shaking off the coaches. How often do you shake off the coach?
I don't, maybe once a game, but I like the coaches calling pitches. So I don't have to think about what I'm going to throw next. I can just focus on that one pitch. And then when that's done, I look down and I get the next pitch. I'm like, okay, so let's reset. Let's throw this pitch. And then we'll just take it one at a time. And also trust the coaches because they have the gate, like the scouting report right there. And they know what pitches to throw to each batter. And it just helps me out a lot because I'm not sitting there thinking, okay, what did this batter do last inning and trying to remember all of that. It really helps me focus just one pitch at a time and executing.
If you weren't playing pitcher, what position would you play?
Probably first base. That's what I played in high school when I wasn't pitching. So,
yeah, you are first base. I can't say I noticed it when you were on the mound the other day, but just pulling up your bio, you've got some good size to you. They have you listed at 6'3", 220. How accurate is that?
Dabbling with 6'2", probably 6'2", is more realistic. But 220, the weight fluctuates, 215 to 220. I'm right around there.
Yeah, that's good size, though. I like it. And now, what sports other than baseball did you play growing up?
I played basketball, and that was it. I played football in middle school, but I didn't play it in high school. That is a regret, one of the regrets of mine during high school. I wish I would have played football, but yeah, just basketball.
Now, at what point did you realize in high school or before that, hey, there was potential for you to play baseball or sports even after high school?
Always growing up, it was in the back of my head, but as every kid's dream is to play a sport as long as they can. But really the moment was right after when COVID happened, school shut down. So I was able to literally just focus on baseball and the weight room and all of that, and further my knowledge on all of that as well. And then, so after COVID, I started throwing bullpens and stuff, and I started feeling really good and getting the results I wanted to see. And then had a good senior year of high school. So after that, I got the opportunity to go play junior college at a college just 20 minutes from my hometown. So I went there, and then here I am.
I think it's neat where we've come in sports and college sports with the transfer portal and things like that. I feel like there's so much more opportunity now for guys to go. They don't have to get to their landing spot right away. They can go somewhere, play, get seen. You know, I coach basketball, and so I try to tell the guys that it's like, you know, the guys that I coach are not going to be playing at Kentucky, but I tell them, you just got to go find somewhere you can get on the court and you know, have that opportunity to be seen playing real sport, you know, a competition, things like that. And I think it's neat that opportunity has broadened, I think, over the last several years, especially from there. Do you have give you guys a song as pitchers before you come out? You have to pick a song?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
What's your walkout song?
I have two. The one that they've been playing is Many Men by 50 Cent. I texted my nephew when we were trying to figure out songs, and I was like, hey, give me some ideas. And he said that one, so that's the one I went with.
Okay. I like it. And would that be, if you were batting, would that be your walk-up song for that too, or would you have to go a different direction for hitting?
It would probably be that too.
Okay. All right. If they needed a pinch hitter, they're in a bind, you know, Coach Pro gets thrown out of the game. A couple players get thrown out of the game. They need someone to come in and pitch hit. Are you a guy that's going to get on base?
Oh yeah. If I don't, then I am full confident that I'm able to put a ball in play, do something with it.
Yeah. I know you're pitching, so you would think that that's your favorite thing to do. What's more fun, striking somebody out or going yard?
Oh, definitely going yard. You get the whole crowd involved. You get to run around the bases, and then you get to come to the dugout and enjoy the moment with your teammates. It's such a euphoric feeling in the dugout when everybody's jumping around and hollering for you.
Do you give Miguel or anybody else tips at first base when you're out there and just say, you know, hey, when I was in high school?
No, I just let them do their thing over there. They'll probably laugh at me if I try to give them any tips.
Yeah. Well, you should start doing that. You just start giving everybody tips as you're out there. You know, third baseman comes over to give you the ball. You just say, hey, you know, maybe get a little lower in your stance. You know, they always like that kind of thing. For sure. When do you know when you're going to be on the mound again next?
Saturday.
Okay. And you're getting the start then?
Against Rice. Yep.
See, college baseball is so different, where there is not really defined roles as much as you see in major leagues, of course. Do you have a preference between starting and going, or because you've come in the middle of the game already this season too, haven't you?
Yeah, at Auburn, I came in after our starter.
All right, so
but that was
what's the mindset difference starting a game versus coming in the middle of the game?
Starting the game, you have a lot more time to prepare yourself, prepare your body mentally, physically, whatever you need to do to come into the game. You kind of go through a routine that you have set and pre-planned. When you're relieving, sometimes you have a pretty good idea, but more times than not, you got to have just keep your body loose and ready to go. And then when your name gets called, you get filled with adrenaline and you're pumped up and ready to go. And then you just get after it from there. You don't have much time.
My 12-year-old who was with me on Saturday, he said he would like, if he was on the team, he'd want to be a pitcher because you get to sit with all your friends during the game out there in the left field. What goes on out there? Because I know you guys are watching, but it seems like there's a lot of shenanigans going on out there.
I've only been down there once this year, and that was at Auburn. All the other times I've been in the dugout.
Okay.
But we're all just joking around, talking about the game, what's going on in the game. And then to pass time, I'm sure there's some conversations going on, and then just be ready to go.
If you were, if you had to face one of your teammates where they were going to hit and you say, okay, this is going to be the hardest guy to pitch to on the team, who do you think that would be?
I would honestly have to go with Justin Currency, just okay. because he played at my junior college with me the last 2 years.
Oh, nice.
And I faced him countless. I faced him a lot of times there. Every time we'd scrimmage, I'd face him, and he's got to see me. He's got to face me a lot, and he just knows a lot about how I attack hitters. He knows everything about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him more. I know Coach talked about him before the season, as well as a guy he thought was going to really step up and impact some games this year. But I'll tell you what, it's been fun. Like I said, we got out there and watched most of the first game and all the second game on Saturday. And I mean, Ron Franklin was raking in that second game as well. But seeing him and DJ and Max out there again, seeing some of the new guys out here as well, Miguel and Connor and everybody. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I try to let people know, you know, now it was cold on Saturday. I don't know how cold you were. I was cold on Saturday, but it'll get warmer. People need to come out, watch the games, cheer you guys on. It's a lot of fun. And there's, like I said, there's a lot of different promotions going on this year as well for EKU baseball too. So Riker, Saturday was phenomenal. I'm looking forward, hopefully, to come out and see you again this weekend, and looking forward to the games this week. Good luck against Kentucky. Good luck against Wright State. Good luck against everybody the rest of the way. And we'll be there as often as we can to cheer you guys on as well. And I've had fun with you tonight. I really do appreciate you taking some time for me, and good luck the rest of the way, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. That's Riker Walton, EKU baseball pitcher. And like I said, I mean, the guy was flinging it on Saturday, and excited to hear he'll be back out there this weekend. So come out and cheer him on, come out and watch him. It was an okay crowd on Saturday. Not too shabby, especially for as cold as it was, a little bit of rainy and stuff like that as well. So, but come out and watch EKU baseball. They're a lot of fun. Support the program, and we'll continue to have baseball guests on here throughout the rest of the season as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking some EKU basketball. But first, a word from some of our sponsors. We'll start off with Righteous Felon Jerky. Say hello to America's most wanted craft beef jerky. Over 15 flavors with all kinds of character. The number one jerky gift box and all natural black Angus quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Taste the flavor revolution at RighteousFelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15 at checkout. That's RighteousFelon.com. Promo code STOVE15 at checkout. RighteousFelon.com has been sponsoring our program all of this year. And I'll tell you, I got some of my favorite flavors right up here behind me. The bootleg and barbecue is my absolute favorite flavor. It's got a lot of kick to it as well, but it's great flavor, great textured jerky. Give it a try. There's the Soul Survivor, a Korean barbecue flavor, Teriyaki Balboa, the Bourbon Franklin, the Foul Capone. There's all kinds of flavors at Righteous Felon. You won't go wrong with any of them. And so try them out and use that code STOVE15 at checkout. You'll get 15% off your purchase. Now a quick word from IPM Pest and Termite.
With over 20 years of experience, Matt Schaefer and the good folks at locally owned IPM Pest and Termite provides pest control service for all of Central Kentucky's pest control needs. Whether you have a current pest control problem or want to prevent infestation from ever entering your home, IPM Pest and Termite offers maintenance programs that will help keep pests out of your home and provide peace of mind. So for dependable, reliable services that you can count on, get in touch with our good friend Matt Schaefer at IPM Pest and Termite today at myipm.com. That's myipm.com.
Welcome back into the Sports Stove Local Hour. Let's see here, sponsored by Righteous Felon Jerky. And in just a few minutes, probably about 10 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Greg Todd, head coach of the EKU women's team. They're traveling to Nashville this week to kick off the A-Sun tournament there. And so looking forward to talk to him. First, though, a couple of things going on in the world of EKU sports. Maggie Rutten, she was here on the show just a couple of weeks ago, EKU softball pitcher, named Pitcher of the Week for the second time already in this very short career of hers. She is a true freshman. came in her very first game and pitched a no-hitter, so that was pretty amazing. And this week she earned again they won 5-0 over Purdue Fort Wayne. She went the full game, seven innings, and 4-0 on the homestand for the Colonels as well. And so congratulations to Maddie Rudin. And the EKU softball team is looking solid this season. And so another program to go out and support and cheer them on. EKU men's basketball starts the ASUN tournament this week. They tip off tomorrow night against the winner of the game that's being played right now in Richmond. It is Jacksonville and Kennesaw State. It's a two-point game. Oh, hang on a second. No, it's not. It is. It's a two-point game with 12 minutes to go in the game. Jacksonville currently leading. So the winner of that game sticks around in Richmond, and EKU will face tomorrow. If and when they win tomorrow, they'll play again on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. And if and when they win on Thursday, they will play in the championship game on Sunday. And it is important. It is crucial. If you can be there, you need to be there. Get in the seats. Cheer them on. Be loud. I'll tell you what, the men's crowds have been really good this year. Very loud as well. So make sure you come out, support them. Remember, these guys are three wins away from the NCAA tournament, March Madness, the one that we all fill the brackets out for. Three games away from that. What an opportunity. And the crowd plays an important role in these games. So you need to be there, cheer them on, be loud. And if you know any students, tell them to get off their rear ends and get there and cheer on the team as well. Because the student section, there have been games where it has been good, but there have been games where it's been empty. I do not understand why students don't come to these games. It's free for them. They should come. So anyways, we need to cheer them on. But plenty of awards handed out today to EKU. Of course, they have the number one seed. They won the regular season title for the ASUN conference. And then today, it was announced A.W. Hamilton named the Coach of the Year in the ASUN. Trying to get him on the show tonight, but again, he's scouting this game going on right now. Then Isaiah Kozar, Big Coz, he has Player of the Year in the ASUN and Defensive Player of the Year in the ASUN as well. That's a huge honor there. And the recognition, you know, we talked with Turner last week, and, you know, he said he should be Player of the Year. And he is. He's Player of the Year just like that. He's also, of course, first-team ASUN. Leland Walker, also first-team ASUN. And then Devontae Blanton, Tay-Tay, is third-team All-ASUN this year as well. You know, it's funny. You watch this team, and I think what we expected from them is not necessarily what we got. We got that the record-wise, especially in conference play, we got exactly what we expected from them. But to see Isaiah step up, he's the leading scorer on the team, of course, the leading rebounder on the team, of course, the leading blocker on the team. Then we saw Leland step up, and Leland's now the second leading scorer. Tay-Tay was the kind of the guy coming into the year we assumed would lead in a couple different areas. And he's not been bad by any stretch of the imagination, but Leland has rose to the occasion. Isaiah, that CBI tournament last year just kind of blossomed Isaiah into what we've seen from him this year. And he's been so consistent throughout the year and has led the team and is a big reason of why they are where they are at number one in the ASUN coming into this postseason tournament. So big things there as well. So I'm sure they'll recognize that on Tuesday night. But congrats to those guys, to A-Dub, to Coz, to Leland, and, of course, to Tay-Tay as well. And congrats to the whole team. An accomplishment this season that is rare. So it's exciting to see and to know they're that close. We talked to Turner about it last week. If you didn't hear that interview, go back and listen to it. They're so close now to the March tournament that I know the pressure is going to be there. So we need to be there to help them stay loose and keep their minds focused one game at a time. I know Coach Hamilton and the staff will be doing their part to do that as well. But nonetheless, good stuff going on there. Postseason options, there are some for both the men and the women's team. And we'll see, you know, the goal, of course, is the NCAA tournament. If that does not happen for either of these programs, both of them will have options in the postseason. multiple options more than likely. And so we will wait and see how the ASUN tournament plays out. And when that's done, then we'll figure out and we'll keep you updated on what's next, because I'm pretty sure both programs will be playing postseason tournaments no matter what. And I said this last week too, with the ASUN, you have to win to get in the tournament. There's not going to be an at-large bid for an ASUN team. And so even if EKU went all the way to the championship and lost at a buzzer beater, I mean, that's their hope is done. So they've got to win to get into the tournament, and there's a good likelihood they'll be able to do just that. We're going to take another break. We've got just around the corner here in about 5 minutes. We've got Greg Todd going to be joining us and ready to go hopefully here shortly. We'll talk about that postseason and what's ahead as the girls head to Nashville. But we want to give you another quick word from another one of our sponsors, All Around Roofing. So let's hear from them now. Does the exterior of your home need a facelift? All Around Roofing has you covered. All Around Roofing is a veteran-owned company servicing Madison County and Central Kentucky. From roof repairs and replacements to gutters, sidings, windows, soffits, chimney flashings, and so much more, All Around Roofing provides quality work and friendly service that will leave your house looking great. Go visit allaroundroofingky.com. That's allaroundroofingky.com for more information. Welcome back into the Sports Stove Local Hour presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Again, you can join the flavor revolution at righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15, STOVE15. And that'll get you 15% off your purchase. If you did not know, the Sports Stove has three programs every week, Sunday night, Monday night, and Wednesday night. Of course, Monday night, you know it because you're watching it. It's the Sports Stove Local Hour covering all things EKU sports. Sunday night is the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. So if you're into fantasy baseball, we've been going through player rankings, and I've got a guest that joins me every week, Kevin Wilson. He writes for Belly Up Sports, BellyUpFantasySports.com. He joins me. We're going through player rankings. We did shortstops this week, and we will do outfielders next week. Then we have our draft on the 17th. So if you're into fantasy baseball, tune in every Sunday night, or you can catch it afterwards on YouTube or on the audio platform of your choosing, Apple, Spotify, and so forth. Then Wednesday night, me and my dad talk all things just sports talk. So we cover NFL, Major League Baseball, some college sports, as well, and NASCAR every single Wednesday night. So you can tune into that. That's 8 o'clock on Sunday night, 8 o'clock on Monday night, 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. And the Sports Stove has you covered everywhere you possibly need it. Coming back to EKU though, there's a lot of things going on right now. Golf is in session. Tennis, men's tennis, by the way, was ranked this past week and have had a great start to their year. EKU beach volleyball is back on the sand as well. They were down in Alabama at a tournament here this past week as well. The men's tennis did play Louisville. They were not able to beat them, but they're, like I said, their season has been really, really impressive here to start off the year. Even coming into the year, had some guys talking to me about, hey, you got to watch out for this men's tennis team. They're going to be really good. And so far they are as advertised as well. So there's plenty of things going on around campus right now. Make sure you come out, cheer on all the different teams that are going on. And we got to cheer on some from a distance as well. And that's the EKU women's team, again, headed to Nashville on the 9th to play their first round against Lipscomb. Joining us now is the head basketball coach from the EKU women's team, the one and only Greg Todd. Hey, coach, how you doing?
Hey, thanks so much, Vince. Doing very well. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, I love having you on, Coach, and I always appreciate your kindness and generosity to me after games and just chatting and things like that. Now, again, the end of the season didn't finish the way you hoped it would, but, of course, it's not over. So now you guys turn back around. You just played Lipscomb on Saturday. You're going to turn back around and play them again on the 9th now to start off the tournament. Let's start, though, earlier in the year, because your guys' non-conference schedule and record was phenomenal. You guys have played fairly well in the conference play as well, ended up with the 5th seed. That being said, though, how pleased are you with the how far the team has come from the beginning of the year to where they are right now?
I think it's a great season up to date, and we want to finish strong. Obviously, 21 wins, I think, is maybe one of only four or five teams that has won 21 games. So that's a great accomplishment for this team. And conference this year, I think a little unknown fact about our conference in women's basketball is the strength of our conference. And yes, we'd have liked to have won a few more games, but if you look at the net rankings or any computer ranking, we have five teams that are in the top 190 in the country. And that may not sound like a lot, top 190, but in a lot of conferences, they may have one or zero teams in the mid-major conferences. And in addition to that, you've got Florida Gulf Coast, who is perennially a top 25, top 50 team. But it's been a very, very tough conference. And with the divisional play, playing our divisional teams twice, with playing Austin Peay twice, playing Lipscomb twice, and Central Arkansas, three teams that have, been up around the top 150 all year long. That's a very tough schedule. So, I'm proud of where we've come. We will play Lipscomb, a little bit unique in playing them back-to-back Saturdays. We're very, very competitive games. They've been able to pull out two tough wins against us, and we're looking forward to playing in the tournament on Saturday against them.
Talking about the ASUN, I had someone text me this weekend and said, "Hey man, I hear EKU might be going Conference USA." And I said, "No, I don't think that's true." I asked Matt Rowe, and he said, "No, that's not true." But I said, I really like the ASUN. I really like the competition that's here. I think it's I think it's good for the university, and it seems like you guys fit in really well with what the ASUN's trying to do.
Absolutely. With the day of the transfer portal, the way it is today, you've got a lot of schools that are sitting in the South area that are able to pick up players for 1 or 2 years. So you all the Florida schools that are there, it makes it very strong. Central Arkansas has got a good location. I mean, then you get around Nashville and Austin Peay with what they're doing. It's a very, very competitive conference, and I think it's one that continues to get stronger. So I'm very pleased, to be in it, and it is very competitive. And we've had an invitation to play in a national tournament already, and that's doesn't happen a lot of times to mid-major teams this early. But I think with the success that we've had, we right now just focusing on trying to win this conference tournament and go to the national tournament, NCAA tournament. But it is nice when you're recognized as a very good program, and there are four women's postseason tournaments, and we have been invited to one of those.
Now you look at your roster, and it's really the most complete roster you've had yet in your time here at EKU. You've got returning people, important returning people, people like Antoinette Walker, Bree Crittenden, and others. And then you bring in the transfers as well. And along with the transfers, you brought in some more Kentucky kids too. I mean, I think Ivy Turner, and she was up at Northern from Danville and things like that too. And the more I think about your roster, the more I think it must be frustrating to know that as soon as the season's done, you kind of have to rebuild to a degree, because you're losing at least several girls this year. And now it's kind of like, oh man, if we just finished this, now we got to rebuild it.
Yes. It's the new normal. And I don't mind the portal at all. We're blessed to work with young people and do what we do. And it's easy to complain about a lot of things. So I try to be positive, and I think there's opportunities. We've got a lot going for us at Eastern Kentucky University, and the things that we're doing is great. And I think we can sell our story at Eastern. And so the portal doesn't bother me. It does used to when you finish the year out. It was kind of a nice time to just sit back and relax for a month or two before you got into the spring, summer workouts. But today it's probably the busiest time of the year. Once your season finishes up, to get to work in the portal. And, I think it's here to stay, you know, with all the transfer rules being, easier and easier. And, you know, it was one time transfer. There's good chance, that it's going to be players can transfer every single season. And you've got the grad transfers. We're still involved with the COVID players getting that fifth year for one more year. So it's, I think it's here to stay. So you need to embrace it and try to build your roster with some good transfers. We were able to sign some freshmen as well. And it's probably the toughest era ever to be a freshman and be able to come in with fifth year players. And we certainly, you want to be able to add some freshmen, but it is very tough on those guys.
Well, and you've made the most of the portal, obviously. I mean, you brought in Antoinette Walker a couple of years ago. Yep. You bring in Caitlin Costner, Nakia Thompson. There's the bigs this year. I mean, you've made the most of it, and it's shown, and obviously it's paid off this year especially. And it's been, I tell you, Coach, this is such a fun team to watch. You've got 9, 10, 11 players that you can throw out on the court, and when they come in, they're all going 100 miles an hour. And I hope your girls, I try to tell them when we bring them on the show, but I truly enjoy coming to the games, watching your girls play. To me, it's so impressive, the team that you have, especially this year, and the heart that they give. I watch their faces. I watch just everything that they put into it defensively. You got some small girls, but man, they're feisty. And then the bigs, they're bullies down there. And I'm sure you enjoy having that full realm of roster this year.
I appreciate that, Vince. I mean, I've been blessed 30 plus years of being a head coach, and I can definitely say this team has been as fun a group to be around. I enjoyed last year's team. We had a good year. But this group, we, like you said, our numbers are so good with how hard we play. Sometimes we get revved up so hard, we have a hard time slowing down on the offensive end. And defensively, I think we play very hard. And it's a good roster, and been a fun year, and definitely want to continue, you know, keep plugging and working hard as we move into conference play, but into conference tournament. But it's been a very enjoyable year, and I know you have pumped up to get bigger support and crowds, and you know, Saturday was an awesome crowd to play in front of. And I'll be honest, I think in our league, Florida Gulf Coast, with their success, they draw number one. And it may not reflect, I know certain people report attendance different ways, but I think our support is coming to one of the very top in the league outside of Florida Gulf Coast. We're starting to get some people that are showing up consistently, and very, very excited about the future of our program. And that means a lot. You have to win in women's basketball. I wish the support was as easy as it is maybe in the men's side, where you can have off years in the men and be pretty well supported. But in the women's, you do have to win. And I think if we can continue to get our consistency where we can win 20 games a year, be at toward the very top of our league, and a lot of the supporters we have will be there, and we'll continue to grow it. But I appreciate you reaching out and trying to get people to come. And once they come a couple of times and see, it's a little more of a family atmosphere and a little more intimate with the size of the crowd. And it's been fun, but I think our administration's done a good job in trying to have some good promotions, we're definitely excited about our future with Eastern Kentucky women's basketball.
Definitely. And I'm drinking out of my Colonel's coffee cup that I got at a girls' basketball game this year. I got a couple t-shirts in the drawer. You're right. And that's what I try to tell people. You come one time, you'll get hooked. It's a great product that you guys are putting out. Let's talk about, though, the postseason. You guys do travel to Nashville. We've already mentioned that it's, you know, you're playing Lipscomb again, who you just played. You've played them already twice this year as well. Is there a mindset shift with your experience, you've been around the game for a long time, but now trying to get the girls, I know you're trying to keep it as normal as possible, but do you see a mindset shift now? Any more pressure with it being one and done?
You know, you never know how sometimes one and done's go. You know, I thought Saturday's game was a big game. They were able to make a few plays. That 11-0 run we had there to in the second quarter kind of done us in. Outside of that, it was, you know, very, very competitive all the way through, and we had some chances, just fouled them too many times. Maybe my 3 years had a team come in and shoot 32 free throws on our home floor. And there's just some things that, you know, we've got to adjust to and do a better job, you know, with when we go there. But I think mindset of, you know, we played them tough. It's not like this is a game that we feel like very winnable, but we just got to play well to do that. And that's kind of the mindset. And, you know, you really don't look past that. And it's reseeded after wins. So whoever who wins our game could go by three different places based on how things work out. So it's one at a time. And, you know, we'll be all in for our game on Saturday.
Do you find it easier to keep the mindset one at a time when they do the reseeding, so you don't know who you're going to go play necessarily when that game's done?
You know, I think it's a little easier. Obviously, you've played a lot of the teams twice and played everybody at least once, so it's not like you don't know the personnel, what they do. You've been to their gyms. It's a little easier. It is a quick turnaround, particularly. We win on Saturday. We may be going to Fort Myers, maybe going to Conway, Arkansas. I mean, it's just we don't really know. But those are pretty long trips to be able to coordinate and get to in such a short time frame. Because Sunday, you know, you're needing to book flights and buses and get everything done pretty quickly. So that's a it's a little unique, and you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, because you got to take care of business on Saturday, or we got quite a bit of time in Richmond before we, you know, would play in a postseason tournament.
Yeah. What is the one thing? I know there's more than one thing, but what is the one thing you're the most proud of from what this team has accomplished this year?
You know, I think how hard our team competes. They compete every game. You know, we don't have no team's perfect. We have areas that we continue to work on that we need help in. But I don't know that I've had a team that plays harder. You know, we expect them to play hard, and Division I basketball is played hard. But I've coached, this is my 10th year of coaching, and I had, you know, three straight 20-win seasons at Morehead State, and we had a pretty good team last year. But I can say I've not had a team play as hard as this team plays night in, night out. You know, I've had some all-conference great players, but not the volume of players that really go after it. So that would probably be the thing that I really like about this team. And they, for the most part, been very coachable, you know, very, got a good staff. I think, they take coaching well. I think, the attitude has been very, very good on this team. So, a lot of positives there.
Yeah. They seem really supportive of each other. You know, some have played smaller roles, but roles nonetheless. And when they get that opportunity, they just jump at it. They're so excited to be out there playing and make the most of it. You know, it's funny. I watch Tay Altea especially just like as soon as her name gets called, man, it's a bounce, and then she's off to the table, and she gets in there and runs hard for a couple minutes, and then she comes back out, and but every time it's with a smile on her face until she gets on the floor, then she gets a scowl, but she's smiling until she's on there, and it seems like the whole team's that way, very supportive of each other, and they understand the common goal of winning games and what it takes to do it. So I know it's been neat. I don't want to do a wrap up of the season because the season's not over, but I know you got some girls graduating out that will be missed. We'll talk about that all another time. But Coach, I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming on tonight. And I know it's you guys are getting ready for Nashville this coming weekend. So good luck to you down there at Lipscomb. Hopefully we're still cheering you on after that as well. And we'll chat after the season's done. We'll chat sometime as well.
Well, I really appreciate your support for women's basketball and everything you do for Eastern Kentucky University. And great to chat tonight. And yep, we're going to do everything we can to get a W on Saturday. But thank
you, sir. Hey, you're welcome. Thanks again, Greg Todd, EKU women's head basketball coach. Have a good night, Coach. All right, that's going to be it for us tonight here on the Sports Stove Local Hour. Reminder, go check out righteousfelon.com. Get yourself some beef jerky. Use that code STOVE15 at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. IPM Pest and Termite, again, they take care of all Central Kentucky. So if you're here in the area and you've got ants, they're getting ready to come out, mice, whatever it is, bugs, you need to get a hold of IPM. And then if you have a house here in the area, roofing repairs, siding, windows, gutters, whatever it may be, if it's on the exterior of your home, All Around Roofing has you covered. Check them out as well. We appreciate their support. Big thank you tonight to our guests, Riker Walton and Greg Todd. Thanks to KB and Alex for helping us get that set up. Follow us on social media if you don't, at Sports Stove. And if you're at the baseball game this weekend, come by and say hi. I should be sitting somewhere in the stands. Look for an ugly mug. That's me. And then say, hey, let me know that you listen to the program. We always enjoy meeting parents of kids, as well as just people who pay attention to the show. So we appreciate your support as well. Thanks for tuning into to tonight's edition of the Sports Stove Local Hour. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.